T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, and we're presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Every Friday, he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf, on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Hey, John, how'd you like the fireworks at the mall? I'm sure you were there.
Were there fireworks at the mall?
Yeah.
I'm sure you were there at like 11 a.m., you know, to get the perfect spot.
Well, where'd you bring your daughter? You had to bring your
just
daughter.
Just like
somewhere.
Every year. Actually, my daughter is in Alaska at the moment with her mother and her grandparents on a Disney cruise. So I was a freewheeling bachelor on the 4th of July through a huge kegger here at the house.
you don't strike me as a cruise type of guy, John.
No, not a cruise type of guy. No. Absolutely not a cruise type of guy.
I don't blame you.
So what are you doing in your bachelor days? Are you hanging out with the boys over at the club? What are you doing?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I mean, I've got work to do, as I always do. I'm going to Boston for a wedding this weekend, actually. But been trying to swim a lot, get my fat butt back into something resembling shape, and spending some time with my son, Danny, who's been recuperating from hernia surgery. And it's been actually kind of nice and quiet.
Hey,
Can't complain.
What did you think?
It's not like you want to be running around that much in this heat.
No, it's awful. We're going to get a little reprieve this weekend. But what did you think about the crowds, the overall, your overall assessment of the Quicken Loans?
My overall assessment is that it went out with a whimper, more or less. It was nice that Tiger Woods contended enough to draw some people, and the heat was god-awful on Saturday and Sunday. What I noticed on Sunday was that, let's just say, for argument's sake, there were 10,000 people there. That's probably generous, but just for rounding it off, I would say 8,000 to 8,500 were following Tiger. There might have been 1,000 following Ricky Fowler and maybe 500 following everybody else on the golf course, including Francesco Molinari, who was shooting an amazing round. And as he came up 18, I mean, there were still some people who hung out till the end after Tiger Woods finished, but he might have had 200 people walking with him.
Oh, I mean, at times he had nobody.
I know, but I know. It was amazing. I mean, if you ever wanted a chance to see a great round of golf up close, Sunday was your day.
Right, but I don't blame him, to be honest with you. Now, I know I'm a Tiger sycophant. Like, I love to watch
Tiger.
Yes,
you are.
I love to watch Tiger play, but, I mean, the public agrees with me. Molinari, as great as that round was, and he deserves all of the accolades, but no one cares.
Well,
it's just
okay.
Not as interesting.
Well, of course he's not. He's not Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody would debate that. But you get back to the question that we've discussed here before. Are people golf fans or are they Tiger Woods fans? And I think there are a lot of people who go to golf tournaments, not just here, but when Tiger Woods is playing, who go strictly because of Tiger Woods, or who turn on the television set strictly because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I've said before, I think he's the greatest player of all time. I don't think he's an interesting person, but I don't think people care about that very much. But if you are a golf fan, then you would want to see Molinari play. And there are a lot of, younger players who played in the event because the field was so weak, who have very interesting stories to tell.
There's
Most people don't really care.
Hey, what did
but
you
I'm
think
both.
About...
Let me just say this for a second, Jason. I'm both. I'm a golf fan, but also a Tiger fan, and they can both coexist. And still, at the end of the day, watching Tiger trumps watching the other guys.
Well, then you're a Tiger fan first and a golf fan second, right?
Well, golf came first, and then Tiger just
Hey, John, what did you think about the little incident? I can't remember what hole it was on. I think it was on 11.
10th hole. You're talking about Sung Kang?
Sung Kang and Joel Dahman.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Well, I didn't see it, obviously. Nobody saw it because there was nobody out there watching that group.
No, the Marshals saw it, those guys, and they tend to agree with Dahman.
Yeah, and you know, again, when another player tweets that that somebody cheated,
that never happens.
It makes you really kind of go, huh. Now, it's not fair to convict a guy without, you know, firsthand evidence. I get that. And the rules official was in an impossible position because if Kang said the ball crossed where it did and Dahman said the ball crossed where it did, he has to give the benefit of the doubt to the player.
Right.
Now, he should listen to the other player because the other player's job is to protect the field.
Right.
And that term was very significant in this situation because Kang, by finishing third, got himself into the British Open.
Huge.
And that's a big deal.
That's a huge
deal. And if I'm Ryan Palmer, who ended up tied for the fourth spot and didn't get in, I might be a little bit annoyed if I think Kang, you know, got away with breaking a rule. So it's a very awkward situation, and without having seen it, and, you know, again, I tend to doubt marshals because marshals often don't know what the hell they're doing, having experienced that up close. I'm not taking shots at anybody specific, but I don't know that that would be the final word, but when a professional says publicly another professional cheated, quote unquote cheated, that's a big deal. And I think the tour probably the tour won't look into it because the tour is so image conscious that it doesn't want to follow up. You know, it said this is what happened and this is our final word on it. You know what's going to happen, though? Joel Dahman will be fined.
Really?
He'll be fined for conduct unbecoming for publicly criticizing a fellow
even
player.
Even if he's 100% right.
Doesn't matter. He will be fined, I guarantee it. Years ago, Brad Faxon got fined twice. First for criticizing Scott Hoke for never playing in the British Open, and then for telling writers that he'd been fined for criticizing Scott Hoke. Because you're not supposed to talk about fines.
Crazy.
I was listening to some, I can't remember who it was talking. It was on the Hank Haney radio show. But he used to teach, I think Hank Haney used to teach Sung Kang, and they were talking about how Sung Kang has some sort of a condition where when he putts, he shakes like almost uncontrollably, and he's afraid to take a blood test. All of his coaches have said, you got to take a blood test. You know, might have ALS or something. And he said he's afraid to.
I shake when I putt just because I know I'm a terrible putter.
A lot of people shake when they putt because they're scared. Yeah,
he does this because he's got something medically going on, but he refuses to see a doctor.
Yeah, well, he's still a pretty good player, though, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That's remarkable. But, I mean, I remember years ago when Tom Watson was drinking and he couldn't make a putt. When he eventually talked about his drinking problem, he said it's hard to putt when your hands are shaking.
Right.
You have any thoughts just moving on? Let's try to hit a couple of the other locals here. The Wizards, they don't really make a big splash, but it looks like they might be able to bring in Dwight Howard, who is a malcontent. He seems to be a locker room cancer everywhere he goes, but he still had like 17 and 12 last year, and those kind of numbers would certainly help this team.
Yeah, you know, I have very mixed emotions about a guy like Dwight Howard. Are you trying to win a championship, or are you trying to win 45 games? You don't win championships with Dwight Howard. When Dwight Howard was a great player, he didn't win championships.
Well, what are the options? I mean, they needed something.
The option might be just play with what you got, and if you miss the playoffs and get in the lottery, so be it. I mean, do you want to just stay mediocre forever? I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal should be to win a championship, not to say we got to the second round of the playoffs. I don't see, you know, it's like the Mets who keep bringing in these 35-year-old guys who are over the hill. I don't think that's a good move. And by the way, I'm not so sure signing Cousins is a great move for the Warriors. And Cousins is still a great player who puts up huge numbers still, but he's the kind of guy who could bring down a great locker room. You know, if now they signed him for 1 year, and if he acts like a jerk, they'll just cut him. But I think that's a gamble, and he's a much better player than Dwight Howard right now.
You know, there are rumors out there that, like, the Lakers and maybe some of these other teams would love to possibly trade for a John Wall. Whether or not they could ever afford that, that's a separate issue. Do you think Ted would ever sign off on that?
Probably not. I mean, Ted likes his stars.
Yeah.
And he's all, you know, he's been a Wall guy. Remember when Wall first got to town, when he had the big billboard for him when he showed up. But let me say this: if you're the who are you going to give the Wizards for John Wall? I mean, the only player on that team I would for sure want for John Wall is LeBron James, and I don't think they're trading him.
Right.
You know, I don't want Lonzo Ball. I don't want that circus coming to town, even though I think he's a nice player. Ingram's a very good player, but I don't know if I would trade him. You know, you'd have to give me at least two of their good young players and two draft picks to trade John Wall.
Right. Let's say you could work out the compensation. Would Ted be able to sign off on something like that?
That's where Ernie would have to earn his money. That's where, as the general manager, you got to go in and say, boss, we can go around winning 44, 46, 47 games a year forever here, or we can take a gamble and make this move.
Right.
And I think this is the best move for the team. That's where Ernie would have to earn his money.
Right.
I don't think Ted's not Dan Snyder. I don't think he thinks he's smarter than his basketball people necessarily, but he does have an attachment to his stars.
Right.
You know, when a baseball team is struggling like the Nats, losing 20 of 29, and they're down 9-0 in the fourth inning, everyone on social media goes nuts and bananas, and they want to fire everybody. And then, of course, at the end of the game, when it's 14-12, you know, we're going
historic victory.
Yeah, we're going to the World Series. What do you think about last night? Could that be a kind of a season-defining game?
My gut says no, because it's one game, and in baseball, momentum is your starting pitcher the next day. Now, having said that, they're going to play three more games against the Marlins, who are bad. Then they're going to play the Pirates, who are bad. And then they're going to play the Mets, who are awful, before the All-Star break. So having nothing to do with the team meeting or the comeback win, this is a time when if they're going to make a move, they should make a move. I mean, they got, I think it's 3, 6, 10 more games before the All-Star break, all against bad teams. Mm-hmm. So they need to win 7 or 8 minimum of those games to get themselves in a position where there's some pressure on the Braves when the Braves come to town for that first series after the All-Star break. Because the Braves have been kind of cruising along here. They've lost 3 in a row now. So this is a chance for the Nats and the Phillies. The Phillies might be the team they got to beat ultimately. The Phillies are pretty good. And the right. Phillies have shown they can handle the Nats.
And if they might get Machado
Machado, that certainly wouldn't hurt either. You're absolutely right. And it looks like the Orioles are going to trade him because the Orioles are beyond horrible, and it doesn't look like Machado wants to re-sign there. So it would make sense for them to get something for him. This is the time, having nothing to do with the comeback last night, this is a time for them to get their act together and turn things around.
John, really stunning news from the Washington Capitals. They hire Todd Reirden as the head coach to succeed Barry Trotz. What do you think about that move? And what do you think Trotz does in his first year or two in Long Island?
Well, it doesn't help that he doesn't have John Tavares.
Yeah, that hurts.
I mean, geez. To me, you know, the Islander fans were all excited, and I'm one of them, about getting Trotz, because Trotz is a very good coach. But I kept saying, okay, now sign Tavares. I think, looking back, they were never going to sign Tavares. Tavares wanted to play in his hometown. You can't blame a guy for that.
Sure.
I mean, he posted a picture of himself as like a 6 or 7-year-old kid sleeping in a Maple Leafs blanket. Okay, so I don't blame John Tavares at all for doing what he did. The Islanders are going to be nomads the next 2 years, 3 years, playing in 2 different buildings till they get the place open and flushing. So I think that the Islanders are going to struggle because they lost one of the 3 best players in the National Hockey League. How would the Caps be next year if Alexander Ovechkin left?
Right.
That's what Tavares leaving is to the Islanders, except the Caps have more good players than the Islanders do.
Have you gotten into the World Cup at all?
Yeah. I mean, I've paid attention. I don't sit and watch 90-minute games.
Right.
But I paid attention. And I got to say this, though, and I know I'll tick off the soccer fans by saying it. How do you decide a World Championship knockout games in any sport with penalty kicks?
I'm with you on that.
I mean, especially the final. The final, there's zero excuse because nobody has to play again. But throughout, you know, it'd be like – in the playoffs in hockey, instead of playing till somebody scores a goal, you have a shootout. It'd be like having a field goal kicking contest at the end of the first overtime in the NFL playoffs. It'd be like having a home run derby after 12 innings in postseason baseball. It's ridiculous.
I think they should change the rules. Because how many substitutions can you have right now?
Three.
They're allowed three. Apparently, they're changing in the European leagues to allowing four if games go to extra time next year.
I think if you go an extra time, and you could just do it just for the World Cup, you should have unlimited substitutions.
I agree. And they should have unlimited substitutions, and after a certain period of time, if you want to take one man off the pitch, you know, teams play with 10 men a lot anyway because of red cards. Yeah, but you got to score a goal. I mean, I watched the second half of Russia and Spain last Sunday. Mm. Russia was making no attempt to score.
Right.
None.
Right.
Because they didn't need to. All they were trying to do was get to the penalty kicks and take their chances there, and they ended up winning. Spain was a much better team. Now, better teams lose games all the time, but lose by giving up a goal. Mm-hmm.
But then Eric is just one soccer fan, but there are soccer fans out there that think that penalty kicks are super.
I don't think it's ideal, but I think it is
exciting.
It is exciting.
The shootout is exciting in the National Hockey League in the regular season. Are you talking about excitement or are you talking about fairness? I mean, if you want exciting, there are ways to break ties in all sports that are more exciting than you know, the tiebreaker is more exciting in tennis than playing out a fifth set, which they do at Wimbledon, and they do at the French Open. They don't do it at the U.S. Open or Australia. But the tiebreaker is certainly more exciting, but is it the fairest way to determine a winner? That should be the ultimate test.
Well, they've determined based on 90 minutes of running plus an additional
30 minutes
of running
to
go to shootout, because if you keep extending that game
play deteriorates.
And then that team plays another team.
Well, that's it, but it does in hockey, too. So what?
Yeah. Well, that's why you have to have unlimited subs.
Yeah, and so I'm all for that. I have no problem with that. Let them, you know, take players out who are tired. And the other thing you can do, Jason, is let guys come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, if
I mean,
a guy's tired and he needs a 10-minute blow, take him out for 10 minutes.
That's a dramatic change.
Let him come back in fresh.
That's a huge change.
That's a
dramatic
change.
And they're not going to do it, but
it could possibly work.
It would be a dramatic change. It would be good for the game. Because, I like I said, I pay attention to the World Cup, but I have trouble taking it seriously. You know, the most dramatic moment, excuse me, in U.S. soccer history was when the women's team won in 99, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because the men's team has never won. And that was a 0-0 game decided by a shootout. So are you going to tell me I should jump up and down and get excited because Brandi Chastain took her shirt off?
But you know what?
Because you want it.
John, you're just like me. At the end of the day, when you go to sleep at night, you don't really care.
That's really true, Jason. There's a lot I lose sleep over, but not that.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, John. All right. Always fun talking to you. We'll talk to you
next
time.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right,
thanks, John.
You too.
Take care.
John, appreciate it.
Best-selling author John Feinstein.
You know what? That's true of most things we debate on this show.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we
almost
care.
Everything.
At 10 o'clock, we don't care.
I mean, you're rarely haunted at night.
No, I'm not haunted by a lot.
You know, a season-ending playoff loss that might be a game seven.
Yeah. Well, 2012 still hurts me for the
Something
Nats.
Like that will bother you. But
for the prior to
this Netherlands year, against whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
prior to this year, but lots of Caps playoff exits haunted your boy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that would bother you, but not the soccer shootout versus playing it out.
I'm curious, underneath the Caps jacket, do you have a Caps shirt?
I don't. It's a little hacky.
Uh-oh.
I have the OAR and the Junks t-shirt.
Why is that hacky? Because
the
Junks are on it.
But I wear that shirt all the time.
That's an OAR shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I wear that shirt all the time.
I might have to peel this off. It's getting a little toasty in here.
No, you got to keep it on.
A little bit.
You got to keep it on. You got to represent.
Peel it off. Show off the guns.
The old Caps won the Stanley Cup. Don't forget that. You're rooting for a Stanley Cup champion. Don't forget.
Are you getting ripped as you're doing Peloton?
I mean, ripped is a stretch. No.
Did you go yesterday?
I'm never going to be ripped. No, but I probably had the it might be the biggest athletic feat I've ever had in my 40s happened yesterday.
Oh, is that a tease?
I mean, it's nothing great. I beat my son and one of his friends in back-to-back games of 21 in the backyard.
Nice.
And these are two 21-year-olds in their athletic prime. It's like the Miracle on Ice.
How embarrassing
your son,
for them.
Your son needs to go to a shooting coach.
He might. But I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
You know, and Kurt walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, he's actually way better than me. I don't know how it happened.
You hit your free. You hit your free throws and they didn't.
I was kind of draining them. I was kind of hopping outside. I don't know what to tell you.
Big advantage.
The fact that you got one rebound in that game is incredible.
It's hard for your boy over here.
There's some long
rebounds,
I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of bricks. A lot of clankers.
Yeah, there might have been.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Don't forget, you can join the Junks and 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress parties. Just over a week away. The date, mark it down. Ricky's, it's Saturday, July 14th at Whitlow's on Wilson. It all starts at 4 p.m. Whitlow's on Wilson, where it's good times with good friends. Get all of your details at thefandc.com/summer. It's one of our bigger events of the year. We hope to see you there. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Had a great time at Whitlow's on Wilson last year, and we will do the same. Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
This video is funny on TMZ Sports. I'm watching it, but Matt Serra, who I don't like to talk UFC because I don't like UFC,
right?
But I like these type of stories.
Big UFC card this weekend,
I guess. Matt Serra, who I guess is a UFC legend, was in Vegas at a place called the Grand Cafe at the Red Rock Casino,
mm-hmm. And he's just getting inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame.
Okay, so he's in this cafe late night.
Yep,
and just having bite to eat. And apparently there was another guy at another table who was hammered out of his mind.
Right.
And was threatening the servers all in the restaurant.
Right. That was being a jerk.
Just being an a-hole.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, this guy's girlfriend, was completely passed out.
Yeah.
Sitting there in the seat. And this guy was just causing a ruckus. And Matt Serra went over there and took him down just until the security got over there.
Right.
And it's just a great video because the guy's just being such a jerk. Someone needed to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like he's a pretty big guy that he's holding
and
down.
And Sarah,
he's a little soft.
While you're watching the video, all he's doing is just trying to keep the guy under control.
He's just restraining
security
him.
Beating him up.
He's not beating him up. He's not throttling him. I mean, he could lay waste to this guy in under 1 second. I mean, he's a trained martial arts fighter.
Yes.
He would just waste this guy.
Yeah.
The funny part about it is we were talking about it during the break, and Jason, when I said it was Matt Serra, he goes, "You mean the actor?
The guy from Superman?"
I said, "Why didn't that guy just pummel that nerd?"
No, that's Michael Serra.
Michael Serra, yeah.
Completely different animal.
I didn't know who Matt Serra was.
No, it's funny. It just made me chuckle.
I have a question.
But the guy kept saying to Matt Serra, "I'm going to F you up."
And then, right. And then as soon as security
taunting Matt Serra?
Yeah.
Well, he had no idea. He was just drunk.
He probably didn't know who
he
was.
Took him down or before?
I think he continued to yell at him as he was being, taken down to the ground.
And then once they got separated and security gets there, the guy just stands up and starts pointing at Serra going, "I'm pressing charges. I'm going to press charges."
Yeah, he's just a jerky.
I have a question for you. Since you're so anti-UFC, Jason, I think I'll know the answer. So they did do a UFC Hall of Fame ceremony. And this is off the top of my head. I don't know all of the inductees, but I know a few of them. Do you know if you've seen any of these people ever fight? Randy Couture?
Yes.
Probably. I mean, I know the name.
Matt Hughes?
Yes. Mm. In person. I think I've seen Matt Hughes in person.
I know Mackenzie Hughes is. Mackenzie Hughes can drive the ball.
Silly Canadian golfer.
I'm not positive. I believe he was in studio with us.
Oh, if he's in studio.
Royce Gracie.
Well, I know who that is because he was in studio, yeah.
He's one of the legends.
But I don't think I've ever seen one. I don't think I've ever seen him fight.
I've never seen... Is it Royce Gracie? Never seen him fight.
I think so, because there's
a million of them.
It's spelled Royce, but I think they pronounce it Hoyce,
like
the Brazilians.
In Brazil, they call him Harsey. Thank you, Valdez, for that tip.
I'm not sure of all the inductees. Ronda Rousey was inducted.
Okay.
Did you ever see her fight? Not even 1 second?
I think I saw her get kerplumed. By Holly Holm. Yeah.
Holly Holm pummeled her.
I saw
that was a good one.
Did she pummel her twice? She lost a couple times and then just quit.
I think that she ended up losing to somebody else.
Now she's in movies. She's in the new
Didn't she lose like that Brazilian chick,
movie?
That Brazilian girl.
I think Ronda Rousey lost to Holly Holm, who then lost to somebody.
She's in the new Mark Wahlberg movie, Mile 22, I think.
By the way, Roy Rogers just came.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the name of this burger is. They told me, and I
is
already forgot.
Is that the
forgot.
Double R burger?
No.
Oh, they brought food?
Oh, yeah.
Hamburger.
What's the name of the sandwich? I forgot.
Gold Rush?
It's silly. It's chicken with bacon and cheese and
I'm sold.
Barbecue sauce.
What does it say on the
It says
wrapper?
Feature sandwich.
Oh, okay. It's just
Did they bring the food after I begged? It was already
No, there's just planned. A lot of food out there. They also have silly mashed potato and gravy, which I haven't had in such a long time.
Oh, I'm going to go crush some of that.
You know how good gravy is?
Mashed potato and gravy, I could eat it all day long.
I would actually skip the mashed potatoes and just pour the gravy into my mouth. The gravy's so good, so delicious.
You won't drink gravy on air. That's a good bet.
Sure, I will. Is it in a separate container?
No, it's all poured into the mashed potatoes.
Not quite as
they
good.
They also have mac and cheese, too, which
well,
is very
mac
carby,
and cheese is delicious.
I'm gonna
crush it.
Do they have roast beef out there?
This is what they brought.
Okay.
The feature sandwich.
Kind of had a hankering for roast beef, like in the last few days. So I might have to get some this weekend.
So I can set this mealy
that banana
aside.
Is so finished. I was going to go have another pathetic oatmeal. That oatmeal's
Do
finished.
You ever buy like a kind of green banana when you go to the store? They're always yellow.
A really light tint of green.
I like to mine have a little bit of green because that means that they're going to age over the next few days.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's already yellow at the store, I'm not that size.
I'm the same way.
So we do want to officially thank Roy Rogers.
Yes. Instead of, what am I eating?
Roy Rogers Restaurants. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. Ooh. And guess who purchased any size Gold Rush chicken sandwich combo now through July 8th? You can grab an additional Gold Rush chicken sandwich for just 50 cents.
Chicken.
I'm pretty sure you have
I'm Gold chicken.
Well, I'm going to sample 100% some of that.
This is the Gold Rush.
That's yes. what I mean. I threw that out there.
So, Bick, there's an update on the story. We were talking yesterday about the soccer team in Thailand that's trapped in that cave.
Yeah.
And they've been there for a couple weeks, I think.
It's horrible. They say they're running out of oxygen in there because there's so many donks.
Right. And they're trying to run oxygen lines into the cave, but it's supposed to get a really rainy today and tomorrow, so they're expecting more.
How about it's so dicey?
The floods to rise.
Yeah. How about it's so dicey that one of their seals died?
That's the story. So one of the Thai Navy SEALs was going in there to, what was he doing? He was setting up
oxygen tanks.
And he passed out.
Yeah.
And he died. He passed out underwater. Oxygen. He ran out of oxygen. And he drowned.
Such a show.
And they said that these kids might be there for a couple more months.
Well, if they can get oxygen in there. Yeah. Because they're looking for flood this weekend, I think.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to rain
they're
more.
Running low on oxygen.
Jason right. said that he cares. This is a weird, like, kind of.
Why are you saying that? Why do you just put things out there?
Because it's because maybe they agree with
it's
you
awkward.
Or disagree with
right,
me.
After
whatever.
You say it, I'm going to drop the F word, so it's dumped.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I won't say it.
Good. I don't think you should. That's something that should be said during a commercial break.
It's an interesting debate.
Because then people get pissed off at.
It's an interesting debate. Did you say something trifling?
I don't think so. Right. I think you would agree with me, but I'm not going
to
say it on air.
Have we gotten to the point where we have to say something? This is off the record, like during a break.
No,
maybe.
No.
Maybe.
Well, with him,
JP
always outs people.
Yeah, JP's the king,
the king of doing that.
He fans the flames
he
all
just
the time.
Crushes.
But I want to know, is it really dicey?
No.
No.
It's not.
But it's not something.
It's kind of stupid.
Oh.
I'll tell you at the commercial break.
You think I'll agree with you?
100%.
Will you tell people the summer dress party when they approach you?
I guess.
maybe you'll tell
Which
them.
Which is coming up
It's
soon.
An ad drinking show when it's the Jason opens
oh, yeah,
up.
Oh, drinking show.
Ask anything.
Absolutely.
All right.
Because
so,
then you'll have a few, you know, Tito's
Well, here's the
or,
thing.
Well, they talked
so
about
says,
drilling down,
here,
right?
It says here right now that the only way these kids are getting out of the cave is if they put the scuba gear on, which they're not trained to do, and they swim out.
I mean,
out.
A trained seal died.
Right. So right, these kids, these 12-year-olds don't know how to do that. So no.
Swimming out, and I heard that they'd be swimming out through the dark, and it's like swimming through coffee.
Yeah, it's a five-hour trip. Think about that. And through large stretches of it, you have to go by yourself. It can only fit one person.
Yeah. It's,
right.
So they have to wait. They have to get oxygen in there, and they have to suck out the water and hope they don't. Because the water at some places, they say, is already up to like ceiling height.
But I heard they could drill down like they did with the Chilean miners.
This is what it says. This is what this one
that might take
from the
a while.
Story.
I don't know.
It says cave rescue experts have said it could be the safest to simply supply the boys where they are and wait for the flooding to subside. That could take months.
Right.
Why don't they get like one of those things they drain pools with? Like a tanker or something.
Like a skimmer.
They're
sucking the water out.
Suck the water out, yeah.
They are, but it's going to flood.
Dude, there's probably a ton of water.
They're dealing
in there.
With torrential rainstorms over
they
there.
They have monsoons.
Do you think a guy named Drab, who lives in Aldi, Virginia, knows more than the rest of you guys in
you
Thailand?
You have the answer?
Elon Musk is sending his engineers out there.
You think it's that
and
simple?
And you think you got to figure it out.
Come on.
Do it like the pool.
Just drain the pool.
Well, Here's what it is. I have a read on Drab.
If teenagers don't know how to swim, they're behind the times.
It's not something about swimming.
No, it's like a five-hour trip.
Check out scuba.
Every article said they don't know how to swim.
They got
to
go underwater.
How can you live on an island and not know how to swim?
Here's the thing.
That's my mother. Scuba.
Here's a window into
the
Drab.
Deep dive.
Yeah, they can't just swim out.
Hold up. Lemire Cakes' theory.
Drab thinks Thailand is nubs. He thinks,
that
the seals there are nubs, and I'm sure they're not as silly as United States military
but they're
seals.
Still
I get it.
Pretty good.
He thinks they're nubs, and he thinks that they're just botching it at every turn.
I don't think they're nubs, but I think if they had a tough mutter contest against American Navy SEALs, they would lose.
Well, of course they would.
Hey, Cakes, scratch off Thai caves off your things to do list.
Wow. You think I would ever go to a cave?
I'm not
in
going
Thailand?
To a cave anywhere. I'm not going to a cave here.
I wouldn't even go to Luray Caverns.
No way.
When I visited my mom in Alabama a few years ago, I took my kids into a cave and they turned the lights out all the way in. It was the darkest place I've ever been. It was the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, but your butt's nice to see the bat cave.
Yeah, of course. I'll probably never go in a cave again.
No.
And certainly wouldn't go into one in Thailand.
Cave? What about Yogi's Cave at King's
Dominion? Yeah, where you walk out and you're like,
I used to love that thing.
You're walking
I would
sideways.
Beg my mother to take me.
Sure. It was great. It was fun when you were like 9.
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't think we'd have the same allure.
So do you think
that
these
point.
Kids are getting out?
It's going to be a while.
They said the rainy season could last till October.
The number one thing they have to do now is...
So we'll be watching like Penn State or Ohio State before they get out.
Right. The number one issue right now is oxygen.
Correct.
And then number two is they got to keep the water levels low.
But the more people they bring into the cave,
oxygen is pummeled.
Correct.
The number three issue is they don't have a Gold Rush chicken sandwich. Would they be done?
This sandwich
they would love
is so good.
To have one
Are
right
you done
now.
With the whole sandwich?
Just about eat, done. I didn't eat the bread, but I pummeled the sandwich. I mean, I pummeled it. Bacon.
Chicken.
Yeah. This is very
chicken,
good.
Chicken.
Someone's
chicken.
Sending in a text that a former DeMatha football player just died in Thailand scuba diving. Did you hear that story?
No.
I don't know that story.
What, like yesterday?
Well, that sounds tragic.
He wasn't like helping with the rescue, was he?
No, he was.
Was he the seal?
No, he wasn't the seal. It was a Thai.
Because it was a Thai seal.
It was a Thai seal.
It was a nub seal, according to Drab. Never said that.
You guys full scuba?
You said their seals are nubs.
Hey, do you think he's nubby compared to the American seals?
100%.
Okay.
Why does that make any sense?
What's the audio you're playing, Valdez? So
if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat.
Oh, this is a long game poly?
Yeah.
Great scene. Hank Azaria is a comic mastermind.
You screwed the scuba diver on her honeymoon. Why should I ever get back
Why
with you?
Why do you sleep on Sandy?
I'd be a complete idiot to get back with you.
Why do you sleep on Sandy Lyle?
Is that your Ben Stiller?
Why?
Oh, that's such a great movie.
That is a very
how
good
hot
movie.
Is, how hot so, is Jennifer Aniston in that movie?
Are you guys full scuba?
He is so great. He's the best.
He's the best. He's awesome.
Oh, man.
And he's jacked.
Jordan,
he's jacked
hold on,
in that
Jordan
I think they're
Scott.
In Thailand, too, by the way.
Says,
they're on their honeymoon
he
in
says
Thailand.
Jordan Scott, 05 graduate. I didn't hear that.
Sad story.
Very.
Horrible story.
I didn't mean to bring it down.
All right, here's what we did. We tried to do a segment on the Nats. We got one guy call in. Do you want to try to go with the Wizards topic and see if we can get people fired up about Dwight Howard? We got one on the Nats. Epic comeback, like a historic comeback. We have one guy excited.
I think we can equal the excitement.
I think we can get two people with opinions.
We're throwing it out as a challenge. So
yeah,
yes.
Do you think we can get two people with opinions on the potential Dwight Howard to the Wizards sign?
The story is Dwight Howard wants to rehab his image. He's going to turn it around with the Wizards.
Right.
Does that get you excited?
I don't care about his image.
Just give me 16-12.
I think he makes him a better team. He probably makes him a better team.
Wizards offseason, 52% to 48% for Nats middle-of-the-road nub season talk. They edge him out slightly, in
Mark,
my opinion.
The Wiz?
Slightly.
All right, we'll throw it out there.
Slight,
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. What do you make of the Wizards offseason? And Dwight Howard saying he wants to change his image, turn things around, and help the Wizards get into the playoffs and do some damage. All right, so we wanted to shift gears and talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards. We've mentioned it a little bit in the last week, as they've made some moves. It started with the Austin Rivers trade And then the Wizards added Jeff Green, who's well-traveled.
Yes.
Most recently, a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then they added Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard has played on four teams prior to the Washington Wizards. He's been a many-time All-Star, been a Defensive Player of the Year, has been All-NBA first team, I believe, four or five times. Clearly, his play has tailed off the last few years, but he still averaged 16 points and 12.5 rebounds per game last season. And a story comes out that, you know, he has a bad rap, bad rep. There's a bad rap on him for his play with the Houston Rockets, the LA Lakers, Charlotte, and most recently the Atlanta Hawks. And then he wants to change that image, which I don't know if is doable after all these years. Kind of people have their opinions. It's probably set on Dwight Howard as a player.
Now, what's
and
the
what
reason
like.
That he has the bad image? Is he uncoachable?
Fellow players
don't like to play with him.
Don't really like playing with him. I don't know if we have the clip available, but Drab was playing a clip earlier.
Is it Brendan Haywood?
I think it's Ryan Hollins.
Okay.
Who's starting to become pretty popular, it seems, on ESPN as an NBA analyst.
Okay.
Former player, he was a well-traveled player and nothing. Wasn't an excellent player.
Right.
Pretty nondescript player. But he apparently... We were trying to figure out where he played with Dwight Howard, but he said he played with Dwight Howard and another guy who kind of threw him in that locker room cancer type of department, I guess. And so I think it's a good move personally. I think it makes him a better team. In terms of his image, I think after all these years, it's tough to change your image. Like, what is he
going to do to change Brendan his image? Brendan Haywood is quoted... And I don't know if we have this audio. He said he's hard to deal with, doesn't accept responsibility, cries a lot, has bad tendencies, awful body language. Huh. So all these things contributed to why he was shipped out of Charlotte. People I talked to behind the scenes, guys were sick and tired of his act.
You mean cries a lot? Does he mean like cry?
Whines.
No. He means whine.
Yeah, probably whines that he's not getting the ball, that Kemba Walker's taking too many shots.
Yeah.
The type of guy who
you could see that.
Places blame on others.
See that?
Yeah. Love to hear from Wizards fans.
There's a reason he's on his seventh team.
There's a reason he's so well traveled.
Fifth team. It's only his fifth.
That's what I have in front of me: Houston, LA, Charlotte, Atlanta.
Okay. All right. So 15.
The Wizards will be his fifth team.
Correct.
Yes.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Do you like the move? I liked it. I'm glad Ernie made the move.
It's a low risk move. It's a 1 year move. It's a guy that's going to give you an upgrade in terms of production on the court. Mm-hmm. Now, the question will be, how will they fit in with each other? He likes to post up. He's very limited offensively.
There was a good article talking about some of the analytics with Dwight Howard. I think he maybe was the third in the NBA in back-to-the-basket post-ups.
Right. Because nobody does that anymore.
Nobody, you know, back in the day, you would...
Third out of three people.
You would throw the ball into Patrick Ewing. He had his back-to-the-basket. He'd shoot a turnaround jumper or a jump hook. Dwight Howard is of that ilk.
This is Dwight Howard's 16, just for the record.
Because he had a one-year stint with Atlanta and Charlotte.
I mentioned Atlanta. I don't know
what Orlando, Houston.
Oh, I missed Orlando.
Yeah.
So I guess Orlando, he didn't really have a bad rap. But... In this article, they say
wore
out his welcome.
Is it an upgrade over
Houston,
Gortat?
LA, Charlotte,
yes,
Atlanta.
It's an upgrade over Gortat. Is he going to win you a championship? No.
No, but do you like the move?
Because I don't have to play with him. Yeah, it's fine.
I don't hate it on it because it's on a short-term basis.
I don't have to like it.
You don't hate it. Do you like it? Do you like move?
No, here's what I...
So you'd have been happier had they not...
Here's where I am on it.
Your name was never in the equation.
I'm meh on it. It's all a right. meh move.
You know who has to like it? John Wall, Bradley Beal.
Right. Otto.
Kelly Oubre, Otto, Scotty Brooks. Those are the guys who have to like it.
I like the move, and I think it has potential for making them a significantly better team. By significant, I mean about add maybe 5-6 wins. 800-636-1067, because he can do everything Gortat did, but he does it better. He can, you know, Gortat's big thing as he became more of a defensive liability and was doing less and less on offense. The big thing they would always point to is, but he was great at setting picks. Well, Dwight Howard can set picks.
All right, but what if he starts acting like he did on all these other cities?
Well, then that's a liability.
Well, that's the risk.
On the court, where Gortat would, and he had a good field goal percentage, but he'd miss some of those bunnies. Like, Dwight Howard will just dunk those alley-oops. If he's going to set a pick on a pick and roll for John Wall, and John Wall goes to the basket and gets doubled, he's just going to throw it up there, and Dwight Howard will finish it.
Right. I mean, he's a 58% shooter.
And he'll be
career.
The best rebounder they've had since was on sale.
Okay, but no one's going to debate you that Gortat is better than Dwight Howard.
Right.
No one's going to debate that. The question is it willing? Is it worth the risk since he's got this reputation, he's been a malcontent, as you dubbed him, in the last five cities he's played in. He's going to be able to perform. He's going to give you 16 and 12 and
dunk
the ball.
Or at least the last four, because apparently Orlando, maybe he didn't wear out his welcome in Orlando.
Is it going to wear on the other guys by, you know, late December?
Yeah. Will that act
early
January?
Thin? That's
Look
the
at that.
Question. That's the
More
risk.
Wizards fans than Nats fans. Go to the phones. People want to chime in.
All right, let's go to Marvin in Landover. Marvin, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I'll tell you right off the top. It's definitely a better move because I think they're just trying to set up for 2019. They want to be relevant in the free agent sweepstakes next year, because if you're like 34 and 48, or say even 42 and 40 going into the playoffs or not missing the playoffs, you know, you're not going to be even a player in the 2019 free stakes. I mean, I like Dwight Howard as a player, but he's never reached his potential, so you don't think he's going to reach his potential here with the Wizards. But, you know, I guess we'll see. I mean, I think he's a malcontent. He's a jerk. But we already have two or three of those on the team. So, you know, this could
perfectly.
Be like
– He'll fit in perfectly.
This could be it could be a combustible blow-up situation all in our face. And it should be spectacular to watch.
Yep.
So,
Thank you, Marvin.
I'm a Wizards fan through and through.
Jan Mahimi was going to be the starting center had they not made this move.
Didn't know this about Dwight Howard. Big snake guy. Has 20 of them as bets. 20.
That's because he's a snake. And he'll backstab you in 2 seconds.
He's probably got another one in his shorts, too.
Yeah.
Just like he backstabbed Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, he has 21 snakes. You got to count the one in his pants. Thank you, buddy.
Let's go to Taylor, D.C. Taylor, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
That's just an assumption.
My boys, how we doing this Friday?
No way, it's a teen.
What's up?
Probably not.
No
Doesn't
way.
He have a ton of kids, too? He's got
five.
A rack. Only five?
Five?
I thought it was more than that.
Five different women.
Right.
Go ahead. Taylor, what's up, buddy?
Well, I got to say, on the 4th of July, I was talking with my buddies who had the bigger snake, Dwight Howard or Jan Mahimi. They both would be huge, right?
Yeah, that's a great debate. Maybe we can have them like come in studio and we can figure it out.
We'll send AWOD to the locker.
Put on NBC Sports Washington. I'm in.
Yeah,
be a lot of freeze framing.
AWOD, we might send you on assignment. Find out who's got a bigger snake. Go ahead, Taylor.
I just want to say that I'm kind of into the move. I kind of feel like maybe Dwight Howard is humbled a little bit. You know, the Nets didn't even want him. Maybe this is a low point in his career, and maybe feel like he has, you know, a little something to prove. Him and John are actually friends, so that could be good. He's definitely an upgrade over Gortat just on the court. We'll see how he does in the locker room. Scott Brooks, he famously mismanaged this Gortat-Wall situation, so if things go south, I mean, that could get ugly, but I'm pretty positive about it. I mean, they upgrade their starting center position. Jan Mahimi would have been disaster as the starter. And then Austin Rivers, too. That's an upgrade over Jody Meeks in terms of a Bradley Beal backup. So I kind of dig the moves.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Austin Rivers can be a swing guy who can, you know, play backup point, play backup two, and also play with the other two guards. By the way, if you count the Brooklyn Nets, he would be on seven teams.
Yeah, but he didn't actually play.
No, he never saw it. By the way, did you see Rivers initially was going to wear a zero, but then I guess Gil like called him and said, "Hey man, that's my number." He's like, "I don't want to mess with crazy ass Gilbert Arenas, so I'm going to wear one."
Is his number retired?
No,
Gil's
protecting it.
Oh, he's just protecting his legacy.
Gil's protecting it.
Rivers just says, "I don't care. I'm wearing zero."
Well, he cares because he's going to show up with a machete or something.
Right.
In your
he's going to show up with a gun. And
he has been known to show up with guns.
Yeah,
in
duty
room.
In your shoe or something.
He acquiesced. He's wearing one.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is how many Nats calls we took.
Correct.
We've already doubled that, and we can come back and do some more if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.